Good morning. Nice to see everyone. Fascinating question this morning. In a Shana Meuberet, a leap year, like this year, which is the real Adar? The first Adar or the second Adar? V'lamai nafkamina, what are some of the practical issues raised? What are the ramifications? Well, in which Adar do you celebrate Purim, for example? You know, if the first Adar is the real Adar, maybe celebrate Purim in the first Adar. Or, no, maybe the second Adar is the real Adar, so celebrate Purim in the second Adar. And we just celebrated Rosh Chodesh Adar, and the Gemara in Tanit says, Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Bisimcha, we're supposed to increase our joy in Adar. Which Adar? Right? Does it apply to the first Adar already? Right? 2 months of joy, of unbridled joy, of increasing our happiness. Or no, do we say it only begins with the second Adar? And some other questions. What if a person has a yahrzeit in Adar? When is the yahrzeit to be observed? Is the yahrzeit observed in the first Adar or the second Adar? Or maybe in both Adars? Okay, and what if there's a bar mitzvah? You know, there's a joke, I'm going to get it wrong, I always mess up these jokes, but there's a joke about someone who's born in a leap year, right, and he never ages. Right? You know, he doesn't have his bar mitzvah until he's, you know, in his 70s or something. So if there's a bar mitzvah in Adar, when is it observed? Is it observed in the first Adar, the second Adar? All of these are very practical questions. Now, one basic issue that we have to address before we even get into this question is, why Adar? When the Chachamim add a month in order to reconcile or adjust the lunar calendar to coincide or to be somewhat consistent with the solar calendar, right? We know we follow the lunar calendar, but we have a mitzvah in the Torah of Shamor et Chodesh Ha'aviv. We're supposed to make sure that the month of Nisan and the holiday of Pesach is observed in the springtime. So if you would not play around with the calendar and adjust the lunar calendar for the solar calendar, over time, you'd find that you'd be celebrating Pesach in the winter, right? In fact, the Muslim calendar, I'm not an expert, but the Muslim calendar is also a lunar calendar. And as far as I understand, they do not adjust for the solar calendar. So their holidays can you know, take place at any point, right? You know? Right, Ramadan could be whenever it falls out during the solar calendar. So we have a mitzvah min haTorah to ensure that Nisan is in the spring and Pesach is observed in the spring. It's the holiday of the spring. It's redemption when things are in bloom in the springtime. And in addition, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Sanhedrin give other reasons for intercalating the calendar, adding a month. If, for instance, the produce or really the grain is not ready in the field yet, you have to bring the Korban HaOmer. So you have to ensure that there's barley grain, there's new barley for the Korban HaOmer over Pesach. And also, if the roads are still wet and muddy, if it's still rainy, so you'd also want to add a month to allow for the Ole Regel to come on Aliyah LeRegel for Pesach and other reasons as well. But why Adar? Why Dafka Adar? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that we only add a month of Adar. We don't add other months. We don't add, an extra Tishrei, for instance. Or we don't add an extra Elul. We add an extra Adar. So why is that? So there are different reasons given. Tosfot there explains because we have an explicit pasuk in the Megillah which refers to Adar as the 12th month. Chodesh Shneimasar hu Chodesh Adar. Chodesh Adar is identified in the Megillah, in our Tanakh, as the 12th month. So if you would add an extra Tishrei, for instance, Adar would be the 13th month. It would not be the 12th month. And some explain that, you know, the Chagei Tishrei, for example, are in the 7th month. The Torah commands us to observe, you know, the Chagei Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot in the 7th month. So if you add, you know, another month before, so that's not the 7th month, it's the 8th month. So if you play around, all of a sudden, you know, you're in conflict with Psukim. Okay, that's a nice idea. But just very simply, again, if the whole idea is to ensure that Nisan is in the spring, right, and that the grain is ready for the Korban HaOmer and the roads are clear to allow the pilgrims to come on Aliyah, how would you know? Well, maybe if you have a farmer's almanac, right, which predicts what the weather is going to be, when spring is going to fall out, or, you know, if you have, Puxatani Phil, the groundhog, to tell you, you know, to look at his shadow and to tell you how long winter is going to be. Is there going to be more winter? How many more weeks of winter? So we don't have such things, but the Chachamim, they looked outside, they looked out the window, they said, oh, okay, spring is here, we don't need to add a month of Adar. Or no, it's still winter, right? We just had snow the other week. We've had a lot of rain. Now the weather's beautiful this week. Maybe it's global warming. But they looked out the window and they saw. So you really can't make this decision so much in advance. Now, of course, we have a fixed calendar. So now the decisions were made, you know, centuries and centuries in advance. But you can't make these decisions in advance. You make them in real time. Do we need to add an extra month to ensure that it's the spring, to ensure that Pesach is going to be observed in the spring, to ensure that the roads are clear, to ensure that the grain is ready to be brought as part of the Korban HaOmer? So that's why it's Dafka, the month of Adar. Okay, so if you take a look at source number one, this is the Mishnah in the first perek of Masechet Megillah, and the Mishnah says the following, Karu et HaMegillah ba'Adar HaRishon. They read the Megillah in the first Adar. They celebrated Purim. They already had Purim. V'nitabra hashana. And then the rabbis looked out the window. They looked at the weather forecast. They went on AccuWeather.com, or they consulted with Puxatani Phil, the groundhog, and they said, wait a minute, there's another 6 weeks of winter, whatever, there's a longer winter. They saw that the roads were still wet and muddy and the rain was still coming down. They decided to add another month to create a leap year, okay, a shana me'uberet, and they have until the end of Adar, right? Again, because you don't know, is it raining? Is the rain going to stop? Like all of a sudden we had a lot of rain and snow, and now it's gorgeous outside, right? The weather's beautiful. So I didn't even wear a coat today. I just wore my sport jacket. It's supposed to rain. Okay, fine. But they have until the end of Adar to decide if they're going to add another month. So the Mishnah presents a scenario. Imagine, if you will, that they already read the Megillah in the first Adar, and then approaching the end of the month, they decide to add another Adar. Okay? Karu et HaMegillah ba'Adar Rishon v'nitabra Hashana. Then they added a month and created a leap year. Korin ota ba'Adar Sheni. The Mishnah here says that they read the Megillah again in Adar Sheni. Okay, seemingly they weren't Yotzei, they did not fulfill their obligation. This would suggest that in a leap year, Purim is to be observed in the second Adar. Or at the very least, Mikra Megillah, the Mishnah only mentions reading the Megillah. And then the Mishnah continues, and we have to ask what the Mishnah means here, but the Mishnah continues, it says, Ein bein Adar HaRishon l'Adar HaSheni ela kriyat HaMegillah u'matanot levyonim. There is no difference in a leap year between the first Adar and the second Adar, save for the reading of the Megillah and giving gifts to the poor, charity to the poor. Matanos levyonim. So what does that mean? Ein bein, right? So does that mean that only these mitzvot have to be observed in what? In the second Adar, and only in the second Adar, but all the other mitzvot, it would seem, have to be observed maybe in both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. What is this Ein Bein? Ein Bein Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, Ela Kriyat HaMegillah U'Matanot LeAvyonim. Now, Matanot LeAvyonim, as we know, is always connected with Mikra Megillah. Okay? Gemara in the first Perek says that we don't read the Megillah on Shabbat, and gives two reasons. One is Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amot Birushut HaRabim, the famous reason why we don't blow the shofar on Shabbat as well. We don't want a person to come and carry the Megillah if Purim falls out on Shabbat. So we don't read the Megillah on Shabbat. Okay, so here in Yerushalayim, if Purim falls out on Shabbat, we advance the reading the Megillah to Friday. That's what we call a Purim Mishulash. But we also, before I say that, there's another reason the Gemara gives as to why we don't read the Megillah on Shabbat. There's a second reason, and that is the Gemara says because the poor people come to the Megillah reading, and their eyes are lifted, and they are anticipating and expecting to receive charity. And if Purim falls out on Shabbat, and we allow you to read the Megillah on Shabbat, you wouldn't be able to give the Matanot Levyonim. You wouldn't be able to give the gifts to the poor. And so you find that the Matanot Levyonim is always linked with Mikra Megillah. And therefore, in a Shana Me'uberet, for example, when Purim falls out on Shabbat, or here in Israel, the 15th falls out on Shabbat, we advance the reading of Megillah to Friday, to Yudalid, we also give Matanot Levyonim on Friday as well. Because Matanot Levyonim is always linked with Mikra Megillah. Okay, so the Mishnah here says that there's no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar, except for reading the Megillah and Matanot Levyonim, which would seem to imply that the other mitzvot maybe should be observed on both Adars, Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, if this is the only difference between the two of them. And so we have to ask this question. And so the Gemara will touch on things like the Arba Parshiot. Okay, when do you read the Arba Parshiot, or when do you begin to read the Arba Parshiot? That's another nafkamina in terms of which is the real Adar, the first Adar, the second Adar. We have these four Parshiot, Parshat Shkalim and Zachor and Parah. Okay, and then ultimately Parshat Achodesh in advance of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But when do we read these Arba Parshiot, in the first Adar or the second Adar? So another question is what about Hesped v'Ta'anit? If the only difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is reading the Megillah and giving gifts to the poor, well, what about the prohibition of eulogizing and fasting? Does that apply equally both in the first and second Adars in a leap year? Okay, that's another question that the Gemara touches on. But the focus of the Gemara asks the question of who is the author of this Mishnah, okay, which suggests that we read the Megillah in the second Adar, and that's when we fulfill the mitzvah. Who is the author of this Mishnah? Whose opinion does it reflect? And it's actually Machloket. A Machloket, the Gemara tries to pin it on Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, tries to pin it on Rabbi Elazar, and what we see is that there's actually Machloket between Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar in terms of when the Megillah is read in a Shana Me'uberet. And the halacha is in accord with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And the Gemara explains that our Mishnah reflects his opinion that in a Shana Me'uberet, like this year, when you have 2 months of Adar, Purim, or at least Mikra Megillah is observed, Mikra Megillah is read, the Megillah is read in the second Adar. Okay, and we'll see why. Take a look where I've underlined. So this is a long Gemara. For our purposes this morning, we'll just take a look at a few lines. Okay, look where I've underlined. Amar Rabbi Chia bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hilchita. The halacha is ki Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. It's like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. She'amar Mishum Rabbi Yossi, who said in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnei Mikra Echad Darshu. Rabbi Yochanan explains that both Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who says that the Megillah is to be read in the second Adar, and Rabbi Elazar, who holds that the Megillah is supposed to be read in the first Adar, both of them are darshaning, both of them are expounding upon the same verse, a pasuk in the Megillah itself, Bechol Shana Vishana, each and every year. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Safar, Bechol Shana Vishana, Ma Kol Shana Vishana, Adar Hasamuch Lishvat. Afkan Adar Hasamuch Lishvat. Okay? So, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer holds that, what does it mean each and every year? Just like each and every year, Adar is next to Shvat. Shvat precedes Adar. Adar comes right after. So too in a leap year, when should you read the Megillah? In the Adar that's closest to Shvat. Okay? And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says just the opposite. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel savar b'chol shana v'shana, based on the same verse, each and every year, ma kol shana v'shana adar hasmuch l'nisan, avkan adar hasmuch l'nisan. Right? Just like each and every year, Adar is next to Nisan, the month that follows it. So too, when do you read the Megillah? In a shana uberet, in a leap year, you read the Megillah in the Adar that's closest to Nisan. Now the Gemara is going to give another reason. Okay? That's a drasha. Both of them, according to Rabbi Yochanan, base themselves on this pasuk. And they each have a drasha. But there's another reason. Bishlam Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Mistaber Tama. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand the reason for Rabbi Eliezer. His reason is simple. His reason is compelling. Why? De'ein ma'avirin al ha-mitzvot. You're not supposed to pass over mitzvot, right? We're supposed to do mitzvot as quickly and as early as possible. You're not allowed to pass over mitzvot. We put on the talit before we put on the tefillin. You're not supposed to pass over your tefillin to get to your talit. We put on the tefillin shel yad before we put on the tefillin shel rosh. You're not supposed to pass over the tefillin shel rosh to get to the tefillin shel yad. Right, we do mitzvot. So why, if you've got 2 months of Adar, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, so first we have a drasha based on a pasuk, but now we have a svara. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's compelling. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we don't want to pass over the opportunity to do a mitzvah. So if you have 2 months of Adar in a shana meuberet, you should read the Megillah when, according to Rabbi Eliezer? As soon as you can, in the first Adar, because we don't want to pass over mitzvot. Right? Mitzvah habali adcha al tachmitzena. When a mitzvah comes into your hand, don't let it become chametz. Don't let it ferment, rise. Take care of it right away. Zrizin makdimin lemitzvah. Or lemitzvot. We have many, many rabbinic expressions which teach the importance of doing something right away. So the Gemara says his reason is compelling why you would read the Megillah in the first month of Adar. Okay? Yet we don't paskin that way. So now the Gemara asks, Ella, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, my ta'ama. What is the reason? What is the rationale of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? Amar Rabbi Tavi, Tama de Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, mismach geula l'geula adif. Oh, very, very important. You know what he says? He says that for Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, why he believes you're supposed to read the Megillah in the second month of Adar, it's in order to connect Geula to Geula, to connect the redemption of Purim, the salvation of Purim, with the redemption or exodus from Egypt. So in other words, you, according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, celebrate Purim, or at least read the Megillah, because that's what the Gemara is talking about. Read the Megillah in the second month of Adar, because of its proximity to the holiday of Pesach. That's what it means, mismach gula legula, smichat gula legula, connecting one redemption to another. And for Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, that is adif, that takes precedence, meaning that takes precedence over the value of ein ma'avirin al ha-mitzvot, not passing over a mitzvah. So when you have competing values, one is, we don't want to skip over the possibility to do a mitzvah, but no, the Gemara says for Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, it's more important, it's adif, it's more important to connect Purim to Pesach, to connect the salvation of Purim, the miracle of Purim, with the miracle of Pesach. We usher in this time of year, this season of redemption. Okay? According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, we're ushering in the season of redemption. And that's why we read the Megillah in the second month of Adar. And that takes precedence over Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvot. Okay? And then the Gemara continues, Rabbi Elazar Amar, Tamad Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Mehacha Dichtiv, Lakim et Igeret HaPurim Hazot HaShenit. Another pasuk that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel darshins, which refers to the second letter that they sent. You see the second letter, it alludes to the second month of Adar. And the Gemara explains why we need that drasha as well, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. In any case, the halacha, as the Gemara tells us, is in accord with Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. We read the Megillah and give Matanot Levyonim in the second month. His opinion is the opinion reflected in our Mishnah. He is the author of our Mishnah. And many Rishonim explain that by extension, also, the four parshiot are read in the second month. We begin the four parshiot in the second Adar, in a leap year, and that's what the Gemara is telling us. But what about Hesped v'Ta'anit? Interesting. The Gemara raises the issue, touches on it, but it's a machloket Rishonim. When you have a Shana Muberet, a leap year, and 2 months of Adar, whether there's a prohibition to eulogize and fast in just the second month of Adar, Adar Sheni, when we read the Megillah, or maybe there's a prohibition to eulogize and fast even in the first month of Adar as well. Okay? And not only on Yudalid, but on Tetvav as well. You know, on Purim and on what we call Shushan Purim. Right? Purim for the villages and Purim for the walled cities as well, the 14th and the 15th. So, it's machloket rishonim. Some allow hesped and ta'anit in the first month of Adar, in a leap year. Okay, major, major machloket. We'll see how the Shulchan Aruch rules, how the Shulchan Aruch is machriya in a moment. But there's another issue as well that Tosfot addresses, and that is, what about your Purim Suda? Again, the language of our Mishnah is there's no difference between the first and second Adar except for reading the Megillah and Matanot Levyonim. So you could ask, what about the four Parshiot? Well, we asked that. What about Hesped Vitani? Okay, it's a machloket. What about Mishteh V'Simcha? We have a mitzvah of Mishteh V'Simcha, of feasting and rejoicing, having the Purim Suda, and giving the Mishloach Manot. Just as the Matanot Levyonim is always connected to the Mikra Megillah, Mishloach Manot is always connected with the Suda. Okay? And that's because you're really supposed to give something that is to enhance the Suda. You're supposed to give, that's the Shita of the Trumat Hadesh, and you're supposed to give something that is to be eaten as part of the Suda. So that's why, by the way, going back to a Purim Mishulash, when the 15th of Adar falls out on Shabbat, we read the Megillah and give Matanot Levyonim on Friday, on the 14th. And when do we have the Suda and when do we give Mishloach Manot? On Sunday. We push it off to the 16th of Adar. We push it off to Sunday. And the day that we have the Suda, that's when we give Mishloach Manot, because Mishloach Manot is part of the mitzvah of Mishteh V'Simcha. Okay? So Tosfot here in source number 2, where I've underlined, asks this question. The Mishnah says there's no difference. Well, if there's no difference, the only difference is Mikra Megillah. Maybe that implies that I have to have a Suda in Adar Rishon as well. Maybe I have to drink a little bit in Adar Rishon as well. Okay? And then the question is, on both the 14th and the 15th, right? Okay. So, take a look at Tosfot. V'yesh shenoagin. There are those who have the minhag. Lasot yimei mishteh v'simcha ba'arba'asar u'b'chamisha asar shel Adar Rishon. Those who have such a minhag to celebrate on the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon. V'riyata dematnit nami mashmakein midekamar ela mikra megillah bilvad matanot levyonim. And it would seem that the Mishnah itself suggests this, as the Mishnah says, the only difference is Mikra Megillah and Matanot Levyonim, meaning all the other mitzvot apply equally in both months. Miklal Dili Inyan Mishteh V'Simcha Zeh V'Zeh Shavin. It sounds like it sounds like concerning the mitzvah of mishta v'simcha, having a suda and rejoicing, both are equal, meaning you have to have a mishta v'simcha in both adaras. V'lo nehira, but Tosfos doesn't agree with that. Now, I don't agree. Da ha'amrinan b'gmaraha le'inyan hesped v'tani tzev zev shavim. B'klal de simcha u'mishta leika. Yeah, the Gemara suggests that maybe the isur, the prohibition of eulogizing and fasting applies equally in both months. But the Gemara doesn't address mishta v'simcha, and by the fact that it doesn't mention that, so it would suggest that that's not the halacha. In other words, that you don't have to feast in Adar Rishon as well. They're not equal. It's not equivalent to Hesped V'Tanit. Hesped V'Tanit is mentioned in Megillat Ta'anit. And then he ends that the halacha is that one does not have to be strict. Again, sometimes when there's a question, when there's a doubt, we're machmir, we're strict. Well, it's not clear from the Gemara. So maybe it's not clear from the Gemara. Maybe I should feast in Adar Rishon as well in a leap year. Why not? Tosfos says, no, you don't have to be machmir and make a suda in Adar Rishon as well. However, there were Balei Tosfot, among them the great Rabbi Chiel Miparis, who did feast in Adar Rishon as well, for this very reason. Okay, based on a strict reading of our Mishnah, it would suggest that while you read the Megillah and you give Matana L'Avyonim in Adar Sheni, maybe all the other mitzvot apply in Adar Rishon. And so here, in source number 3, I've excerpted from the Sefer Tashbetz Katan. It's called Tashbetz Katan to differentiate from the Tashbetz, Rabbi Shimon ben Tzemach Duran. Tashbetz Katan was a Talmud of the Maharam Mirotenberg. Okay, and he describes here how there were Balei Tosafot, among them Rabbi Chiel Miparis, who would celebrate on the 14th, and maybe even the 15th of Adar Rishon, okay. V'diktiku rabotenu shebidorot ha'achronim, kevin delinan hesped v'tanit zev zev shavim. And our rabbis of the later generations, meaning the Rishonim, they debate and dispute and are being medaktik. They're being precise in the reading of the Mishnah and assuming that maybe the prohibitions of Hesped and Tanit, eulogizing and fasting, apply equally in Adar Rishon, Zev Zev Shavim. Im Kain, if so, Yesh Laharbot Besuda Barbasar Shel Adar Rishon, Kimo Barbasar Shel Adar Sheni. If so, right, the Tashbetz Katan says, and maybe, in other words, if we're reading that Mishnah very carefully and we're saying the only difference is reading the Megillah and Matan Levyonim, so then maybe Hesped and the Isur Hesped, the Tanit, also applies in the first month, so then the other mitzvot as well should, among them, right, Mishta V'Simcha, or namely Mishta V'Simcha. And that's exactly what he said. Now, Tosfot argued against that logic. Well, just because we say that Hesped, the Isur Hesped V'Tanit applies in the first month, that doesn't mean, Tosfot in source number 2, Tosfot on the Gemara, it doesn't mean that Mishta V'Simcha also applies. But that's what the Tashbetz Katan suggests, right? Again, a very strict reading of the Mishnah. And then he continues and writes, V'chein haya ragil Rabbeinu Yechiel Miparis, and that was the minag of Rabbi Yechiel Miparis, one of the greatest of the Balei Tosfot. He did this, he was accustomed to doing this, laharbot b'simcha u'b'su'udah ba'arba asar shel Adar Rishon, to increase simcha and su'uda on the 14th of Adar Rishon, the first Adar in a leap year. Ulazmin b'nei adam imo, and to invite people to celebrate along together with him, guests, maybe his talmidim. Kidemashma nami lashon ha-mishnah de'ein bein v'chulei. And that's what the Mishnah implies, again, according to this strict reading of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says there's no difference, the only difference is the reading of the Megillah and Matanot Levyonim, that implies that the other things apply equally in the first month of Adar. Miu suda gdola ein tzarich lasot. However, you don't have to make a big suda like you would in Adar Sheni for the real Purim. And this is called Purim Katan. Okay, people observe Purim Katan. There's a whole discussion. Is it both Yudalid and Tetvav? Okay. Do you celebrate and have a special meal and give Mishloach Manot as well? We said that Mishloach Manot is part of the mitzvah of Mishteh V'Simcha. Okay. So take a look at source number 4. This is the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch is Machriya. He writes, Im Yudalid V'Tetvav Shabbat Darishon. Yom Yudalid V'Tetvav Shabbat Darishon Ein Noflin Al Pneiyam Ve'Ein Omrim Mizmor Ya'ancha Hashem B'Yom Tzara. Okay, so with regards to reciting Tachanun and saying Lamnatseach, we don't do that in Adar Rishon. Adar, or the first Adar in a leap year. Okay. Why? Because we say, we paskin according to the opinion. As I mentioned, it's a major machloket Rishonim. But we rule in accord with the opinion that in the first month of Adar, we're strict, we rule that in the first month of Adar there is a prohibition to eulogize and fast, and therefore on days when hold that thought for a minute, halacha lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch, just lat, David, you could edit all this out. I'm joking. Halacha lemaisa, you celebrate. You don't. We'll see about celebrating in a moment. But as far as you could tell, I only had one cup of coffee so far this morning. As far as what we do, halacha lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch writes that on the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon in the leap year, we don't say tachanun. Okay, we don't. Selam Natseach. Okay. And Vasur Behesped Vitanit. And we paskin like those Rishonim that say that there is a prohibition to eulogize and fast on the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon in a leap year. Aval Shard Dvarim Ein Nogin Behem. But other things we don't observe. Okay? Other things we don't observe. Meaning, the Shulchan Aruch is saying, we paskin that the Megillah is read in the second month, and that's when you give Matanot Levyonim in Adar Sheni, and that's when you have your Suda, that's when the mitzvah of Mishteh V'Simcha applies. So in other words, he takes the opinion that we saw of Tosfot here in source number 2, that while the prohibition of Hesped and Isur applies equally in both the second and the first Adar, okay, so we don't eulogize, we don't fast in the first Adar, and there is an element of Simcha in that we don't say Tachanun, we don't say Lamatzeach, okay, which we don't say on festive days. So there is this element of Simcha, and we do say that there is a prohibition to eulogize and fast, but we don't take that all the way. We don't say that the other mitzvot also apply equally in Adar Rishon. Okay, so he takes that approach of Tosfot that we saw in source number 2. V'yesh omrim, and there are those who say, da'af behesped v'tanit mutarim. There are those that allow eulogizing and fasting. As I said, it's a major machloket rishonim. And then the Rama adds, v'haminhag kisvara harishona. The Rama here is in italics, but the minhag is like the first svara, meaning that we hold that you don't eulogize and you don't fast in the first month of Adar. There is this element of Simcha there. It's Purim Katan. Yesh Omrim, and then he quotes this opinion that we saw, Shechayav laharbot b'mishteh v'simcha b'yudalad shabadar rishon. Ve'ein no'agin kein. There are those who hold that you observe the mitzvah of mishteh v'simcha on the 14th of Adar Rishon as well. But that's not our minhag. That's not the minhag. We don't paskin that way. That was the minhag of some of the Balei Tosfot, among them Rabbi Chiel, Mi Paris, but we don't pass that. We mikol makom. Nevertheless, he continues. Yarbek tzat besuda kidei latzeiti de hamachmirim. Nevertheless, you should have a little bit. You should increase a little bit. Make a little bit of a feast in order to fulfill the opinion according to those who are strict. Latzeiti de hamachmirim. And then he concludes with a pasuk from Mishlei v'tov lev mishtet tamid. Right? It's the good of heart constantly are feasting. Simcha is a good thing. You know, I once heard a nice idea that by Avelut we say that the halacha is kedivrei hamekil be'evel. When it comes to mourning, we follow the lenient opinion. Okay? There are many examples of that. But here, when it comes to simcha, we want to be yotzei yidei hamachmirim. Right? It's interesting the way the Rama formulates it. He says that really there's no mitzvah of mishtev is simcha, and that's how we hold. But nevertheless, and he says, and that's the minhag. But nevertheless, it's good to be machmir. So which one is it? Either the minhag is not that way, or you should be machmir and do it. So it's really interesting. So you see that the Rama, he's saying, yeah, it's always good to be besimcha. And there are those who suggest that the mitzvah of simcha begins already in Adar Rishon, Mishnichnas Adar Marbin besimcha, which Adar, maybe already the first Adar. And all sorts of nice ideas. You know, now you have like two full months. And so it's like in the ending of Batil B'Shishim, that your sadness is, you know, we have this concept of Batil B'Shishim. Nice ideas, although it's not really Shishim, right? Because one, we'll see in a moment, 1 month has 30 days, 1 month has 29 days. So it's not really 60 days. Okay, it's close enough. But actually, if you take a look at source number 5, it would seem, at least from Rashi, that the mitzvah to begin to increase our joy really begins with the second Adar. Okay, and again, it's related to the proximity to Nisan and to Pesach. And just as we explained why we celebrate Purim in a leap year in the second Adar, because of its proximity to Pesach, and we want to be mismach geula legeula, we want to connect redemption, one redemption to another redemption. We want to connect the redemption of Purim, the salvation of Purim, with the redemption and the exodus from Egypt. And we usher in the season of redemption. And that's why we observe Purim in the second Adar, because it's close to Nisan and close to Pesach. Similarly, it would seem, at least according to Rashi in source number 5, that when do you begin celebrating, when do you begin increasing your joy? It's the second Adar. Again, because of its proximity to Pesach and this theme of ushering in this season of redemption. Take a look at Rashi. Mishnechnas Adar, Yemei Nisim Hayu Li Yisrael. The Gemara there in Ta'anit and Daf Chavtet says you should increase your joy when Adar enters. Mishnechnas Adar, Marbim V'simcha. When the month of Adar enters, we increase our joy. So Rashi says, Yemei Nisim Hayu Li Yisrael. Why do we increase our joy when Adar enters? Because these are the days of miracles for the Jewish people. We're ushering in this season of redemption, Purim v'Pesach. So it would seem that according to Rashi, the mitzvah to increase one's simcha really only begins in the second Adar for the same reasons why we celebrate Purim in the second Adar. We're ushering in the season of redemption with Purim and then Pesach. Okay? So what we've seen so far addresses when Purim is observed and when we begin celebrating. By the way, as I mentioned, I mentioned that there's a whole discussion, you know, when on Purim Katan, the Rama says, yeah, you should have a little something, Purim Katan, whether it applies both to the 14th and the 15th, whether you should give Mishloach Manot on Purim Katan. There's all sorts of interesting discussions in the Achronim. But it doesn't really answer the central question of which one is the real Adar. Okay, because you could say, well, maybe Purim is observed in the second Adar in order to connect it with Pesach. Again, this theme of ushering in the season of redemption, connecting one salvation to another, one redemption to another, smichat geula l'geula. But maybe that's all well and good. That's a technical reason, but it doesn't really answer the question of which one is the real Adar for instance, observing a Yahrzeit. A person died in a shana pshuta, in a regular year, a typical year, okay? Do you observe the Yahrzeit in the first Adar during a Shana Meuberet or in the second Adar, or maybe both? Doesn't answer. Which is the real Adar? So Tosfot here in source number 6, just for the sake of time, I'm going to summarize. Tosfot here in source number 6, this is Tosfot to Rosh Hashanah Daf Yutet, is basing himself on a passage in the Yerushalmi. There's a difficult passage in the Yerushalmi. A lot of passages in the Yerushalmi are difficult, but there's a discussion in the Yerushalmi which would seem to suggest that by the fact that in a leap year, the first Adar has 30 days,
that is considered the additional month, the Tosefet, the extra month, the leap month, if you will, and by the fact that the second Adar has 29 days, that suggests that that is the real Adar. And that's what Tosfos wants to say. And why? Because in a typical year, how many days does Adar have? How many days does Adar have in a typical year? Right? Last year, how many days of Adar did we have? 29. Adar in a typical year has 29. So in a leap year, if the first month of Adar has 30 and the second Adar has 29, that would seem to suggest that the first Adar with its 30 days is the extra month that you're sticking in there and not the real Adar. And the real Adar is the second Adar, which has 29 days as it does in a typical year. So that sounds compelling, except it's a little bit of a problem. Or it's a question, well, that works nowadays, that we have a fixed calendar. And every year, in a typical year, Adar has 29 days. But when the calendar, or the month, the month was sanctified by witnesses coming to Yerushalayim, when we were Mekadesh the Chodesh al pi Re'iyah, based on witnesses seeing the new moon and coming to Yerushalayim and testifying before the Beit Din, so, depends on when they came, right? Depends if they came on the 29th or they came on the 30th, right? Or they didn't come at all, right? Then it would be proclaimed on the 30th. So, it only works with our fixed calendar to suggest that a normal Adar, a typical Adar is 29 days, which then suggests that in a leap year, if the first Adar is 30 days, then that is not typical, it's atypical, and that is the extra month. So that only works, again, with our fixed calendar nowadays. When they were Mekadesh l'chodesh al-pi Re'iyah, Adar could have had, in a typical year, either 29 or 30 days. Okay? So it's not so compelling. However, there is this Gemara here in source number 7 in Nidarim, which maybe will resolve the issue. We'll see. Maybe. Okay? So the Mishnah on Daf Samach Gimel in Nidarim says the following. Konam yayin she'eni to'em l'shana nitabra ashana asurba ubi'ibura. If a person prohibits himself from having wine, he takes a neder, a konam vow. I'm not going to drink wine for a year. Well, then there's a leap year. Nitabra ashana, the year is a leap year. What did he intend? Typically with nidarim, we say that we go according to the Lashon B'nai Adam, what people typically mean. And there's a lot of discussions in the Gemara about, you know, vague nidarim. So a person makes this neder, I'm not going to drink wine for a year. Does he mean 12 months? Or does he mean a calendar year? And if it's a leap year, then it would be 13 months. So the Mishnah says, nitabra shana, if it's a leap year, asur ba ubi ibura. He's prohibited in drinking wine for all 13 months, because that's called a year. Fine, that's simple enough. But the next part of the Mishnah addresses our question of which is the real Adar in a leap year. Is it Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? Ad Rosh Adar HaRishon. What if he said, I'm going to prohibit myself from wine. I'm going to abstain from wine. I'm taking a vow. I'm going to abstain from wine until the beginning of Adar. Which Adar? Right? It's a leap year. Did he intend Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? So if he says Ad Rosh Adar, until the beginning of Adar, Ad Rosh Adar HaRishon. The Mishnah says it's to the beginning of the first Adar. Ad Sof Adar, if he says, I'm going to abstain from wine until the end of Adar, Ad Sof Adar HaRishon. That is going to be until the end of the first Adar. So from the Mishnah, it sounds like what? It sounds like what?
12 months.
Well, okay. We said that if he says I'm going to prohibit myself from drinking wine or abstain from wine for a year, right? A year means the entire year, meaning all 13 months. But then the next part of the Mishnah says that if he says, I'm going to abstain from wine until the beginning of Adar, which Adar are we talking about?
So that they're saying the Adar Rishon is the important one.
Oh, it sounds in the Mishnah that Adar, at Stam Adar, if a person says Adar, period, right? They don't specify whether it's Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni. They say Stam Adar. It sounds like that's what? The first Adar. That's what it sounds like. So it's actually a machloket. And the Gemara brings a braita, a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So look where I've underlined. Adar HaRishon, Kotev Adar HaRishon. Adar Sheni Kotev Adar Stam Divrei Rabbi Meir. What if a person writes a shtar, a contract, a document? Now you have to be very precise in how you write these documents, right? So, according to Rabbi Meir, if a person, in the month of Adar Rishon, a person writes Adar Rishon. He wants to date his contract and he wants to specify that it's Adar Rishon, he writes Adar Rishon. However, in Adar Sheni, he just writes Adar Stam, according to Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, which is the real Adar? When a person just says Adar, what do they mean? The second Adar. The second, because again, he says, when you write your contract, if you intend the first Adar, you write Adar Rishon, you have to specify. But if you intend to be this, you intend to write the second Adar, you just write Adar Stam. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Adar HaRishon Kotev Stam. Adar Sheni Kotev Tinayin. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the opposite. In the first month of Adar, you just write Adar, you don't have to specify. In the second month of Adar, that's when you have to write Adar Tinayin, Adar Sheni, the second Adar. Okay? Now, most Rishonim Paskin, like Rabbi Meir, okay, that Adar Stam, just Adar, plain Adar, refers to the second Adar, which, again, Lashon B'nai Adam, you have to make a neder and you have to write a contract in the way people talk, what people typically intend, what the Kavanah typically is. So that would seem, if most Paskin like Rabbi Meir, the Ron Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, most Paskin like Rabbi Meir, that it's really the second month of Adar that's the real Adar. That's what people call Adar, okay? Ask a typical guy off the street, right? Which is Adar? What's the real Adar? He would say, oh, that's Adar Sheni. And so according to Rabbi Meir, Adar Sheni, right? Adar Sheni, that gets the real. You don't have to specify. You write a contract, Adar, oh, the intent is Adar Sheni. Okay, that suggests that the second month of Adar is the real Adar. Okay. Real. What do we mean by real? And so it would seem that's how the Shulchan Aruch rules with regards to a Yeretzayit. Now, many have the custom of fasting on the Yeretzayit of a parent. And that takes on the status of a neder. So it's analogous to this Mishnah here in the Darim. It has the status of a neder. A person fasts each year, okay, on the Yeretzayit of a parent. It has the status of a neder. They have to make up the fast if they can't fast for whatever reason. So take a look here at source number 8. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Kishe'ira yom shemet aviv o imo ba'adar, v'hashana me'uberet yit'ane ba'adar bet, Adar Sheni. The Shulchan Aruch rules that if a person is observing the yahrzeit of a parent, very practical question, you're observing the yahrzeit of a parent who died in a regular year, a shana pshuta, okay? And then all of a sudden, like my grandfather, this month, or maybe next month, we'll see. But my grandfather passed away. This will be his second Yeretzayit on the 11th of Adar. Okay? So a person passes away on the 11th of Adar. He passed away in a regular year. This is the second Yeretzayit. So do you observe the Yeretzayit in the first or second Adar? Well, the Shulchan Aruch rules, the Mechaber rules, that you observe the Yeretzayit in the second Adar. Kishira yom shemet aviv oimo ba'adar, v'ashana me'uberet, and all of a sudden, this year is a leap year, yit'ane ba'adar bet, Adar Sheni. The individual should fast in the second Adar. Because Adar Stam, if we paskin like Rabbi Meir, Adar Stam, what is Adar? Adar is the second month of Adar, right? When you date a contract and you write just Adar, the intent is for Adar Sheni. So that's when the Yahrzeit is to be observed. That's when one would fast. Okay? However, the Ramah comes along and says, V'yesh Omrim, there are those who say, Ditane Barishon, that you should actually fast in the first Adar. Im lo shemet b'shana ha'ibur ba'adar sheni. Da'az no'agim litanot b'sheni. Unless a person died in a leap year. If a person died on a leap year, so then obviously the fast would be observed, the Yahrzeit would be observed in a leap year. Then it's not a question. It's only a question if a person died in a regular year when you observe the Yahrzeit. V'chein ha'minhag litanot b'rishon. And so the minhag is to fast in the first month of Adar. Mihu nevertheless yesh machmim litanot b'shnehem. Brings an opinion that there is such a minhag, many have the minhag, to be machmer and to fast on both. And by extension, to observe the Yahrzeit in both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. So again, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you observe the Yahrzeit in Adar Sheni. The Ramah says that you observe the Yahrzeit in the first Adar, and many are machmer to even observe the Yahrzeit as well in the second Adar. And that's the Vilna Gaon, the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah. They all say you should observe the Yahrzeit, at least with fasting on both. Because again, if the fast has a status of a neder, so you want to be careful, you want to be machmer. Now, in the Yoredeya, the Ramah, this is I'm reading from Orachayim, Hilchot Ta'aniot, Siman Tavkuf Samachet. But in the Yoredeya, the Ramah writes that the Ikar Minhag is Adar Rishon for the Ramah, for Ashkenazim. That's really when you fast. And that's when most people observe the Yahrzeit. And but then again, people want to be Machmir and observe the second. Again, the Mishnah Berurah and other Achronim write that, yeah, really you should observe the second Yahrzeit as well. With regards to getting honors, you know, leading the davening and saying Kaddish and getting an aliyah. So then the Mishnah Berurah says really the first Adar is the Ikar, according to the Ramah. In other words, for Ashkenazim, that's the minhag, the first Adar. But the second Adar, a person wants to fast, a person wants to light a Yahrzeit candle, right? You know, we don't make the shul give him all, you know, unless there's no one else there to daven, but we don't insist that he daven both in Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni for the Amud. Okay, the kibudim that we would give him, that would be an Adar Rishon. That's the Ikar. But you see, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin said it's Adar Sheni. So that's the halacha with regards, or the minhag with regards to a Yahrzeit. What about a bar mitzvah? Right? You could say, well, maybe if the kid was born in a leap year, he should never have a bar mitzvah. So the whole question about a bar mitzvah, we're almost out of time, but take a look at the Ramah, the very bottom of the page, source number 9 here. This is in Orach Chaim Siman Nun Hei, Hilchot Birchot HaShachar. And the Ramah writes, Umishin olad ba'adar v'nasa bar mitzvah b'shana ha'ibur. A person was born in Adar in a typical year. And then it's his bar mitzvah, and it happens to be the bar mitzvah year is a leap year, like this year. What do you do? Eino na'ase bar mitzvah ad Adar hasheni. You don't make the bar mitzvah until the second Adar. Now, what's the problem here? What's the problem here with the Ramah in source number 8 by a Yahrzeit and the Ramah here in source number 9 by a bar mitzvah? What's the problem? Anyone bothered by what the Ramah is writing here? The Ramah appears to contradict himself, right? The Ramah appears to contradict himself. In other words, he says by a Yahrzeit is really observed in the first month of Adar, and some observe it as well in the second month of Adar. But by a bar mitzvah, you observe it in the second month of Adar. Why? Right? It would seem that the Ramah here is contradicting himself. Right? With regards to a Yahrzeit is observed in the first Adar. With regards to bar mitzvah is observed in the second Adar. Why? Why the difference? Right? If Adar Rishon is the real Adar, so observe both in Adar Rishon. If Adar Sheni is the real Adar, so observe both in Adar Sheni. So there are a lot of different terutzim, a lot of different answers that are given to try and reconcile these two statements of the Ramah. But very simply, the Ramah is being machmir. Rama's being machmir. In other words, he's machmir with regards to fasting for Yeretzayit, right? Where, again, a person fasts for a parent on the Yeretzayit of a parent, it has the status of a neder, so you want to be machmir. You want to fast in the first month of Adar, because maybe that's the real Adar, and also, as the Rama writes, many fast in the second as well, to be machmir. But with regards to a bar mitzvah, and the context here is, when is the bar mitzvah boy mitzarif to the minyan? This is in the laws of tefillah. That's where the Rama brings it. So when is the bar mitzvah boy a bar mitzvah? When does he reach the age of majority? So that would be, well, when it's a suffolk, we don't know which is, so we have to be machmir there. So that's why by the bar mitzvah, the Rama says, in the second month of Adar. Okay, because maybe in the first month of Adar, he's not yet a bar mitzvah. We can't count him into a minion. So it's the second month of Adar. Some point out that, but still, he should really put on tefillin. You know, many have the minhag to put tefillin on a month prior to the bar mitzvah, or a few weeks prior to the bar mitzvah. Some wait until the bar mitzvah itself. So if that's the minhag, if people wait until the bar mitzvah itself, so in that case, if the bar mitzvah falls out in a Shana Meuberet, in a leap year, in that situation, he should really put the tefillin on already a month before, because, again, maybe he's already obligated in tefillin, maybe he's already a bar mitzvah in Adar Rishon. And the Ramah's just machmir, that he shouldn't be mitzarif to the minion, we shouldn't call him up to the Torah yet, until we're sure he's a bar mitzvah. And so the Ramah's machmir, and by a bar mitzvah says you should wait until Adar Sheni. But there are different minhagim, but it's just interesting how by a Yurtzeit, the Rama is machmir. It says, observe the fast for a parent on a Yurtzeit in the first Adar, maybe even in the second as well, because of this safek, you should be machmir. And then with a bar mitzvah boy, before you can count him to the minion, he writes that the bar mitzvah should be observed in the second Adar. Again, he's being machmir to be mitzaref the bar mitzvah boy to a minion. So that's one very simple way to reconcile this apparent contradiction in the Rama. And you see the Rama wants to be machmir also by simcha, right? Right. Take a look back at source number 4. He writes that really there's no mitzvah to have a suda, and there's no mitzvah of mishteh v'simcha in Adar Rishon. And he writes that that's not the minhag. Ein noagin kein. Yes, there are those who suggest it based on a strict, careful reading of the Mishnah, which we explained. But really, that's not how we paskin, he writes. Nevertheless, he writes, it's good. It's a good thing to be machmir when it comes to simcha. So, you know, that's always a good thing, especially in light of all that we've been through over the last year plus. It's a good thing to be machmir. Mikol makom yarbe kitzad besuda kedei latzeti dei hamachmirim. When it comes to simcha, it's always a good idea to be machmir. V'tov lev mishteh tamid. Tov, so I will wish you all a very happy Adar Rishon. And Mirtz Hashem, we'll see you next week. Take care. Be well.